All right. The we are deep into the series on the topic of Zionism, whether it's religiously a good idea or a bad idea, just to bring people up to speed. Originally, we said that there would seem to be a problem of Shloyalu B'choma, that perhaps they cannot come back in mass to Israel. We discussed why that's perhaps not a problem. We then discussed maybe the reason it's not a problem is because the time has come. Right now, we are supposed to be coming back. We have begun the Messianic era. And we had certain proofs that would seem to point in that direction. Since then, we've been focusing on reasons why that may not be true. Right? There hasn't been this great tshuva movement that's supposed to come with it. Right? The people who have led us are far from tzaddikim. So perhaps that would indicate not that way. And we discussed why that may or may not be a good argument. We're going to shift gears a little bit this week. We're still discussing the same topic, but we're going to finally get off the Shalosh Shavuos. And the focus this week is going to be the argument from the Satmar Rebbe that even if this isn't a violation of the Shalosh Shavuos, still the state of Israel is something that you probably should not be involved in. Why would that be true? So as we relate to this week's Parsha, good week, we have two Parshas to pick in. Well, we start in Parshas Re'eh before we get to Parshas Maaseh. In Parshas Re'eh it says, Eila chukim v'amishpatim asher tishbun l'asos ba'aras asher nosav Hashem o'kei v'sech l'lach l'rishto koi mim asher atem chayim ha'adamar. Okay, these are the rules that you're going to have to follow if you're going to go to Israel and inherit the land. What's that? Abeita abdun es kol mekavos asher avdu shom ha'goyim Asher atem yorshim osam esalohim al harim haramim al hagvaos tvesachas kol etzra anon. There is a mitzvah that you have to destroy all of the avodah zara. Anything that was worshipped as idolatry has to be destroyed in Israel. Specifically, v'nitatz temes bizbechosam v'shibartem atzmasevosam v'ashereihem tisrefun be'esh v'pesilalehem tegadeyun v'ibadetem eshimon min makamahu. You have to smash the stones that they have, but you have to break their monuments. You have to burn down their Asherah trees. You have to go and uproot whatever avodah. You have to totally get rid of it. So again, if you're going to enter, when you enter the land of Israel, there is a mitzvah to uproot avodah zarah. This halacha is alluded to at least in this week's parsha, where it says, "Daber b'nei Yisrael marta lehem ki atem over mes hayarden al eretz Canaan." Said you're going to in the near future pass over the Jordan River and enter the land of Canaan. For Hashem has called your shvei haaretz v'yibdechem v'ibadetem es maski osam ves kol tzamei masecho osam ta'abedu ves kol bomo osam tashmidu. What are you going to do when you get there? You're going to go take over the land. And then you're going to wipe out all the avodah zarah. So there seems to be a very clear mitzvah, d'oraisa, that upon entering the land of Israel, the Jewish people have an obligation to get rid of the idolatry. The Rambam quotes this lahalacha, mitzvahs aseh hi la'abed avodas kochavim u'mishamshea. In general, there is a mitzvah to destroy idolatry and everything related to it. As it says in Parshas Re'eh, v'nera ki im kota asu lahem, and if it says if you do this, u'be'eretz Yisrael mitzvah lirdof acharea. In Israel, there's a higher level. Not only if I see avodah zarah, do I have to destroy it, but I have to run after it. If I see it, not only if it comes to me, I have to go after it. Until it's totally out of Israel. Any area that we move into in Chutz La'aretz, we have to get rid of the Avodah Zarah. But we're not responsible that there should be no Avodah Zarah in the United States. So that's the difference. In Israel, I have to actively get rid of Avodah Zarah. Outside of Israel, I don't have to actively get rid of Avodah Zarah.
What are the implications of this vis-a-vis?
So, it sounds like the simple reading is you've got to get rid of it. Right? That's what it sounds like. And that's exactly where we're actually heading at this point. There is a clear relationship between getting rid of Avodah Zarah and moving into the land of Israel. Right? That seems to be pretty clear from the Pesukim in our Parsha. And the Gemara says it pretty clearly as well in Avodah Zarah, out of all the odd places. The uprooting of Avodah Zarah has to come prior to conquering the land of Israel. Kibush Eretz Yisrael kodem lebir avodas kochavim. However, kibush comes before bir. Gidua comes before kibush, and kibush comes before bir. What is gidua and what is bir? So Rashi tells us, gidua so kochavim kodem lekibush Eretz Yisrael bechinin asasim isam legadum miyad. When you first come in, you have to get rid of whatever you see, and then achik kibush yishar shu achareah. And then once you're there, then you start digging deeper. So anything that's obvious has to be gotten rid of before Kibush Haaretz. But once you do Kibush Haaretz, then you can look into it more deeply. As you're coming in. Right? As part of the Kibush. Part of the Kibush.
Before you ever won, just in the process of doing
that.
But yet, historically, that's getting rid of Avodah Zarah has been...
We haven't been very good at it.
We haven't been very good at it.
We haven't been very good at holding on to the land of Israel. Right? So again, these might be related comments. So, Rashi in this week's Parsha, in fact, seems to go one step further. It says, Ki atem over mesayarden v'horashtam. Halo kam pamim huzan elokam. Why does he keep on saying this, Rashi says? We keep on talking about this. When you walk through the Jordan on the ground and the dry land after it splits, you should do it on this condition. Meaning that the condition will be what? That you'll uproot the Avodah Zarah, it would seem. If not, if you don't do that, the water will come down and drown you right there and then. And this is what, in fact, Yeshua said to them as they were standing in the Yarden, in Parakeh or so of Yeshua.
Well, being that we all haven't been drowned, isn't it pretty clear that we haven't been doing this wrong?
Well, no, it means as follows, that when they went in, so the argument is as follows. When they went into Israel with Yeshua, they did it with the intention of destroying all the Avodah Zarah. Hence, they did not drown. But we have not yet stood in the Jordan River with the river piling up next to us and accepted it. But the fact that we have not drowned doesn't prove anything. The fact that they did not drown proved that they did the right thing. Now, if you want, it's potentially possible to analyze this Rashi as follows. In general, let's say I have in mind, I'm sitting here, I'm giving a shiur, and someone... is asking too many questions, is sleeping, and the person really gets on my nerves, and I have in mind, I'd like to kill them. Do I get punished for that? No. Until I actually take the law into my own hands, right? If I have in mind that, you know what, after I finish davening here, I'm going to go to Park Burger. I hear there's a spouse, you know, I want to get in before the 9 days. So... Everyone has their mitzvahs, their averas, you know, different. Do I get an avera for now thinking, you know what, I think I'm going to go to Park Burger afterwards? No. So why would it be that the Jews are standing in the Yarden? They say, you know what, when I get to the other side of the Yarden, I'm just not going to do this. Why would they be punished for the machshava, for the mere thought that this is what they're going to do? So,
and really, you're getting punished for entering, doing the act of entering the land.
There's a problem of entering the land of Israel.
Well, with that,
when did you become such a Satmar? What?
With the intention of.
So is that true? Why is that a problem? So the truth is, yes.
Even if it's not fulfilled by going into Israel, one precedes the other.
So you're saying.
I'm kind of saying that.
But again, obviously, you can't expect me to do it as was asked before I get there. So there is actually an avera that you get punished for just thinking it, and that is?
Korbanos.
Well, pigol, right? It's true. But also avodah zarah. If I believe in avodah zarah, that's an avera. So one could make the argument that if one has in mind not to uproot avodah zarah, it's considered as if you believe in avodah zarah. And that is the reason that merely on thought you're going to be punished.
Isn't that a bit of a stretch?
Perhaps. But it does answer my... Well, have you heard any better answers to why they're getting punished from me? What? Right. I'm not arguing on it. That's why I said it's a potential thought. That again, we are talking avodah zarah here. That is the avera in question, right? And they're going to be punished, it seems, for the thought, right? That's what Rashi seems to be saying pretty clearly.
But thinking you're not going to approve the avodah zarah doesn't equal believing the avodah zarah.
Well, so the question is
I jumped
right. I understand. I understand that's a little bit of a leap of logic. But given the other questions, there seems to be some support for that. Well, again, this is the land of Israel, and, you know, you don't like it, so it's nice knowing you. My way or the highway. We said that we can't do it here.
But didn't you say that if you...
Again, if someone brought avodah zarah into my house, could I break it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my house. Who told you to bring avodah zarah? So it's my... So Israel's my land. Who told you to bring avodah zarah? Who invited you to bring the avodah zarah here? Either you take it out yourself, or I'll get it out for you. So that is the background that we need to know to understand the Satmar Rebbe's next argument.
So since the Rambam doesn't necessarily consider Christianity and Islam...
We'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that. Okay? Easy. Just because we're missing one more Giyaros doesn't mean you have to make up for everybody. Vayom Moshe says as follows... So this is actually towards the end of a longer piece. But Yotzeinu Mizeh, what comes to us from all of this background, what's the background? Well, when you go into Israel, you have to destroy Avodah Zarah. That's number one. And without destroying the Avodah Zarah, you don't have a right to take over the land. And not only that, but if we want to go a step further, if we want to understand Rashi as the way that the Satmar Rebbe suggested, which was what I just said, that in fact, if someone who doesn't destroy Avodah Zarah or doesn't want to destroy Avodah Zarah is the equivalent of being Oved Avodah Zarah. Put that together, and here's what we have. Hayotzalonu mizeh. We see it. Shakoshim es Yisrael im Avodah Zarah. People who leave Avodah Zarah in the land. Shebetochu. Umachzikim em shalotama. Al kol botei Avodah Zarah. Not only that, but they are controlled, right? The churches in Israel, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, that's under the government. The Einam Avdim Osam, but they don't destroy it. Yeshrahem Din Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The people in the government who do not destroy the Avodah Zarah is the equivalent of worshipping the Avodah Zarah. Beisah Haisha Hashkacha Gruya V'log. I don't know what that's supposed to be. Kadayin Hastaris. Vohaya adayin, probably what it should be. Hastaras panim, hayu amayim shofim kolsa Yisrael. Ap avur machshova kazos. Back in the day when we really had Shechina, whoever even would have thought about it would have drowned over this. Indicating, what's he referring to? Rashi in this week's parasha. Right? The Yardin will go and drown you. It's not enough that these wicked people don't destroy their avodah zarah. Shatachs mem shalotam. Ela adarabba. Misaknu nosam v'nosam mem kol inyonei kavod. Not only do they destroy it, they give it great respect. Ubanim batei avodah zarah chadashim. And they help build new churches, the government. V'gam hu amad mitama mem shalom misrad hadatut. And there is a ministry of religion. shenikra b'loshon rabim, not the Mishrat Hadat of the religion, but rather of datut, the religions. Lichol kol hadato shemishmartam l'sakin kol hadatos. They're not just working with Judaism, they're taking care of all religions. V'zeh eizah shonim this parsim b'michtate of itim shesar hadatos shehoye oz his barb if ne kosve ha'itim shehu oseh be'emuna l'takin as kol hadatot. And in fact, he said that the minister of religion got up and says he's working hard to help strengthen all of the religions in Israel. Af das Yisrael betochem, even Judaism he takes care of. V'yu haya emes kedvaro she'osim tikunim gam b'das Yisrael, k'mo b'avodah zarah. And if in fact they were supporting Judaism like the other ones, havi avodah zarah b'shituf. That would be the type of Vodazar, where you support God, Hashem, and the other religions. Eitzel, Avol should be, what? Avol, Ein HaEmes. It's interesting, when you cut and paste from Otsar HaChachma to Vayol Moshe, there are tons of mistakes. Now you go through and catch most of them, it seems. There's never a mistake in Eim HaBanim Smecha or in Tkufa Gedola. it's proof that we know Otzar Chachma likes better. Keep it Das Yisrael Osim Kil Kulim Gedolim. But in fact, they're not even as good. They're doing terrible things to Judaism. They're making the Judaism less, and they're pushing the other religions. So again, if you're telling me you're going to do Hashem plus, so if you're a non-Jew, we'll discuss that shortly. That's not a Avodah Zarah. Avo Yisrael Hu Oven Chomer Ma'od. It's terrible for a Jew to do that. This is the same as being Oved Avodah Zarah, and based on this alone, the government of Israel should be considered the government of idolatry. Better you should be killed than be involved in this government. That even anything related to it, you have to give your life up for. So the argument here, again, is a separate argument than what we've been discussing until now. Up until now, we've been playing off the Shalosh Shvuos, could this be Aschalta de Gula, etc. This is a totally different tact. It is saying that even if it's fine that everyone made Aliyah, you can still have nothing to do with the government because the government has failed to get rid of the churches in Israel. And not only have they failed to get rid of the churches, they have supported them. And as such, that's Avodah Zarah, right? Not getting rid of it is as good as bad as worshiping it, and therefore it's Yehara Ve'al Yavor, you cannot be involved with the government. All right, that's it. No, that's not it. We'll discuss this. V'im Cain. Anybody who gets involved in the Israeli government are considered partners in idolatry. And they are violating something that you should give your life over. And even if Eliyahu came a Mashiach, came and it was ready the time of the redemption. And they kept all the Torah mitzvahs except for this one thing. Not to get rid of the Avodah Zarah that's under their control. The Kitzer, he doesn't like the Israeli government so much. And in fact, I cut that off, but the next lines are less than supportive of the Aguda. Where he goes specifically down, and he gets personal at that point. This is just, you know, some words among friends. So,
you know the Kamsa Bar Kamsa? You know what Kamsa stands for? The Nechrak Beis HaMikdash? Communisten, Mizrachisten, Zionisten, and Agudisten.
Right, so there's many of them. Lo sasur acharei levavcha v'acharinecha is, you shouldn't follow what? The Herzl, right? Same idea. Guys are sharp. Give them credit. Good lines. So the bottom line is that's the argument. The argument is there is Avodah Zarah in Israel, and they have refused to get rid of it. In fact, they have supported it, and as such, that alone is reason enough to stay away from them. The first part of it I'd like to discuss is the point that was raised just now, and that is, who says there are Avodah Zarah? So we start with the Sefer Yerayim, Rabbi Elazar Mimitz, who says, Lefi Pshuto Nirli, Fi Shinem Anochi Hashem, Lamdim Shimo HaKosh Baruch Olav. The first thing we say, Anochi Hashem Elkecha, means that Hashem is the king. Aval Shalom Rishativ Dover Achim Olo Yeram Deinu. However, the fact that Hashem is king, so the president's got a vice president, he's got a cabinet. So if we just said Anochi Hashem Elkecha, he could also have other family members, let's say. That it says, therefore, the next one says that there can be nothing with him. So if you have a case of Shituf, it's God plus, that is a problem. It's a violation of the Aseret HaDibros, according to the Urayim. So let's say God now develops a larger family. He picks up a son, right? He has a pet ghost or something, whatever it might be, right? That would be Shituf, because you have the same God, but it's God plus.
So the question is, do they believe it's God plus, or do they believe that it's three manifestations of God?
So again, I understand. Right, so again, so one would say that that's a problem with Kusha Pritu Shchinte, which right, we don't say those Vihinoams. But besides that, I think within their religion, there are different deos. Right? So there might be a difference between Catholicism and Protestant approach, etc. So again, this is a bigger discussion. But to the extent that there is Shituf, that there is a God plus, you've got a problem. Now, you've got a problem means Jews. What about non-Jews? So the Rambam is interesting, because the Rambam talks this in several places, and by and large, he's heavily censored. So it would be fairer to look at more original manuscripts, but we'll just bring out some of them, which would kind of spell it out anyhow. We start with the Rambam in Avodah Zarah, in this Pirush HaMishnayos. So there's a concept of Eideihem, the holidays of the non-Jews. That's the very beginning of Avodah Zarah. On the non-Jewish holidays, you're not allowed to do business with them, because it will cause them to praise their Lord. That's what the Mishnah says. So the Rambam explains, "Ve'elu edeim shalkov dekochavim elu azman niskarim hayu mefor samim boso azman." So the days that they give aren't necessarily the same. The days that they had holidays and they didn't have alternate side of the street parking 2,000 years ago are not necessarily the same days as we have now, the Rambam says. So this is what the of the Chumah Aleihem. V'chein kol moed uma b'chol mekomos olam sheim ovdim avodas kochavim chayv linok behem kamo shezachar. So therefore, if you go to India and they have certain holy days, and then you go to Africa, they have different holy days. So whatever they're following, that's what a dayim is. V'da note shezach hauma afilu shedoseyam mishunos, and this nation, even though that their religion is different, kulam ovdei avodas kachavim, they're all considered ovdei avodas zara, even though there's differences among them. Ve'edeim kulam asurim, and their holidays are all asur. V'roi v'nima gimorim b'torah mashi yinu gimovdei ovdei avodas kachavim. So the Rambam is saying, in his days, you treat these people like you would treat idolaters. V'yom rishon michal edeim shalakum. Sunday is considered one of the holidays. What religion does this sound an awful lot like? Religion that exists in the time of the Rambam in Spain, where they take Sundays off? Pasha, he's talking about Christianity, and what does he say? It's Avodah Zarah. The Rambam's pretty clear on this one.
Last time I checked, I haven't seen any Satna Hasidim closing their businesses Erev Christmas. They do the best business Erev Christmas, by the way.
That's so.
All the big Satmar electronic stores, B&H, and all these other have no. Focus and so on.
They're not obligated. They're not obligated to close their businesses. They just can't patronize.
No, you can't sell either. Yes, he's right. Yes, he's right. You can't sell. You can't buy. You can't sell. That's why they started the Schwarz Freitag. Schwarz Freitag, that's weeks in advance, not a Shiva. Right?
There's a theory because the money goes to support the yeshiva.
Right. The Black Friday. It's the day before Black Sabbath. It's like Good Friday. It's the day before Good Shabbos. So, lefichach also rosses v'rosses im akum shemamim be'echad b'shabbos kal. So therefore, anybody those who are religious, you cannot do business with them on Sundays. So the Rambam seems to be seeing here pretty clearly that Christianity is considered avodah zarah. The Rambam in Hilchos Ma'acholos Asuros, now we're in the Mishnah Torah, says Ger Tosha v'hu shekibo rav sheva mitzvos k'mo shebiyanu yeino asur b'shtiyah u'muter b'hanaya. If you have someone who's not Jewish but not oved avodah zarah, not an idolater, you're not allowed to drink their wine, but you can get benefit from it. So you can't give it to watch for you, but you can even give it there a little bit. But and any non-Jew who's not oved avodah zarah, like the Arabs, yenam also b'shtiyah muter b'hanoya. V'chein horu kol agonim. Aval osam ha'ovim ha'avot kochavim stam yenam osur b'hanoya. So what does the Rambam seem to be saying? That Islam is not avodah zarah, as opposed to Christianity is avodah zarah. But let's be clear. Avodah zarah for who? No, for them. Right? He's saying that they're not considered ovdei avodah zarah because they're following this. They're doing whatever they're doing. That for them is not considered. They're not considered ovdei avodah zarah. Therefore, you can get hanah from their wine. Therefore, you can do business with them. But the Rambam never says that's not for a Jew to convert to Islam is okay. So when it comes to the question of is it considered avodah zarah? Well, as far as we're concerned, yes. As far as they're concerned, no. At least in the case of Islam, in the case of Christianity. Well, that's let's say that. Good, good. I'm happy to note that. I'm sure. I'm glad I'm paying that money for the Beis Yaakov education. Right. So, but that's yeah. It would seem that what we're saying here is that. Perhaps for them it's not avodah zarah, but for us it would be. The Noda Behuda is very interesting. He says that, you know, there's an assumption, someone writes in one of the questions, that shituf is not avodah zarah for non-Jews. So he wants to know, he says, where did you get that from, that they're not? I've heard many people say this, oh, shituf, it's only a problem for Jews, not for non-Jews. Shena nachim mitzuvim al shituf, v'gam bekama svarim midrashos v'agodah hishtamsu b'akdom azos. And there were certain people who assumed this. V'ani yagati v'lo matzati. Right? Dover zeh lo b'shnei Talmudin b'avli v'yirshalmi. I didn't find it in the Talmud Bavli that said that. I didn't find it in the Yerushalmi. V'lo b'shum echem yigdolei rishonim. If it was true, the Rambam should have told us that. So he goes on, he says, the bottom line is, that as I see it right now, is that they are required all the same. He explains that why people got confused. The reason they got confused is because there's a halacha that it says, it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that you shouldn't get involved in business with a non-Jew. Why? He might take you to court. If he takes you to court, you have to swear on avodah zarah. So, what? Or you're going to take him to court and he's going to swear on avodah zarah. Right? So because of that, so the question is, so there it says that if he's going to swear on a combination, then you can do business with him. It's not so bad. So he says, okay, to swear, for going to swear in the name of God and Ralph the Lettucehead, I hereby agree to tell the truth and the whole truth, you're not to swear. But to be ovated, you never heard that. So we have here a discussion. It's a very important discussion. The discussion is, well, are these churches, are these mosques considered Batei Avodah Zarah? And there's a good possibility that the answer is yes and no. Yes for us and no for them.
How could that be? Is that yes for us?
Why is that so problematic? Could eating a Park burger, yes for them, no for us. Right? There's most of the rules are different for us than
right.
for them.
We see this trafe for them.
Trafe is cool. Right, as we said, if we violate Shabbos, we're chayiv misa. If they keep Shabbos, they're chayiv misa.
It's either a shem or it's not a shem. I mean, it's not.
No, it's not a matter that it's a shem. Rav the letter said it's never going to be a shem. That's just not going to happen. However, that doesn't mean that if you have certain beliefs, there's concepts like this. Like, let's say, for example, I believe that God literally has a body. Am I right? No, I'm not right. Is that a violation of some sort? Is that a Avodah Zarah?
It's not a Avodah Zarah, but it's not.
So the Rambam thinks you've got a problem, but the Ravid says no. The Ravid says it's wrong, but doesn't mean you're gonna go to Gehenna for it. So it's not that hard to accept. The definition of stealing is different for Jews and non-Jews. Right? There are many times where we have this. Right. So again, so this is Avodah Zarah for us, and this is Avodah Zarah for them, but we are chayiv in this much Avodah Zarah, and they're chayiv in this much Avodah Zarah. Right? That's what it comes down to. But this raises the question. So let's say that's true. Let's say that, again, without getting involved in Christianity versus, but again, Christianity versus Islam, the bottom line is they're not getting rid of any of it. So even if you tell me that they don't really have to get rid of the mosque, still they have to get rid of the Church of the Sepulchre. And they're not getting rid of that. So it's an interesting question here, which you could argue about. If there's something that I hold as Avodah Zarah, but halachically they hold it's not Avodah Zarah. And my mochu, you have to destroy it. Because what they're doing is fine. They're not violating the laws of the Torah. If it was real Avodah Zarah for them and for me, okay. So Sama Rebbe seems to be saying that if it's Avodah Zarah for me, it's totally B. I have to get rid of it. You could make an argument the other way. That if it's not Avodah Zarah for them, if they're not being violating an Avera, right, do you necessarily have to get rid of it? Now, I was thinking about what other religions do we have in Israel? So the most obvious one that came to mind is?
Baha'i.
So I did some research today into Baha'i. So Baha'i is monotheistic. I didn't know that beforehand. Right? It's a little different. It's got it's a little odd what they believe, but
what do they believe?
Different
the VM. They're first in the VM started in the 19th century.
They believe in beautiful gardens.
That's right. If they believe in peanut butter. Clap your hands with Peter Pan, something like that. But they are monotheistic, but they believe that this guy the Abu something or another trumped Muhammad. Which is why in all Arabic lands they really don't do well with this. But they're very humanistic, etc. But at the end of the day, they're monotheistic. I don't know of any truly polytheistic religion in Israel. I mean, is there a Hindu presence in Israel? I don't think so.
What about the archaeological sites?
So again, no, we definitely had Avodah Zarah's problems over the years.
So, but I'm just saying, so I'm interested by the analogy to ISIS, which
correct.
Could be very
correct. Absolutely, right. The Taliban even more so.
Yeah.
Actually, I would think. So, what
are you saying? The Taliban are something of a
sound. So,
the Taliban blew up the huge Buddha
in Afghanistan.
That was a big thing.
Right. Absolutely. So at the time I was thinking, you know, maybe they're right. I wasn't saying it very loud. That's the truth. But there is a concept in halacha called bittul. If someone says, this isn't Avodah Zarah, I don't believe it, a non-Jew, it stops being Avodah Zarah. Right? So that's probably a better way to go about it. Just get the official, they used to have this, the official bitler. Right? The guy would come around and say,
what about the concept of Mipnei Darchei Shalom?
We're going to get, again.
Can you imagine if we destroyed every church and mosque in Israel? They're going to kill every Jew on the street in America.
Well, so we're going to discuss that. I'm a realist. I understand. We're going to have to discuss that as well. But again, right now we're just discussing this idea from the Satmar point of view. And the idea is it says
from Satmar point of view, he's not realistic at all.
So I'll say
he wants all the going to come in and destroy all of Williamsburg.
No, he wants everyone to pick up and leave Israel.
That's why he doesn't want to come.
Right. He's not saying that you should destroy. He said, "Who told you to go?" That's his ultimate argument. Yes.
So in midst of destroying Israel, is that obligated on an individual basis, or is it also obligated on a government basis? I think it's only the government.
It would seem it would perhaps be an individual as well. We'll see that very soon.
So the Hasidim that live in Eretz Israel, when they come to Eretz Israel, they're obligated according to Samuel to go and destroy.
So again, we haven't seen Satmar try to do this. It's been more of the members of the Shtachim who have gotten ideas like this. So
what about the Roman rules?
So again, the idea is that's all bittel. I think the answer in all these cases is it's bittel. Anything that's from centuries ago, no one believes it anymore. No one's worshiping anymore. You know, that's why that's really, and that would have been the answer as well in the two giant Buddhas in Afghanistan, right? The Taliban could have just been mevatel it. They're just asking me. So that's the story. Surprisingly not. Just they were using a more Hasidish base then. The tour quotes a very important Shitas Rashi, which is also worth noting. So again, discussing this idea of partnership with non-Jews, the tour says, Yizod mirishtatef im ha'ove gelirim shema yischayev roshvu av yishav b'shem yirasa. He might have to swear. He's going to swear in the name of Avodah Zarah. You will have caused it. That is the problem. Truth is, I can say, don't swear. I'll just take your word. But the bottom line is, there's enough money on the table. I don't know if I'd be quick to do that. That's why you shouldn't get involved. So Rashi, already in his day, said, you know what? The Goyim, they're not so from anymore. They're not so from. They don't really believe. They don't really believe, and therefore it's not. So that is a second approach, right? The first approach is to say that if it's mutter for them to do it, so, but I don't have to destroy it. That's the point. That's only true Avodah Zarah has to be destroyed. It's Avodah Zarah even for non-Jews. And the second point is, nowadays we just don't have Avodah Zarah anymore. It's just not in vogue anymore. It ain't what it used to be. Rav Kasher in his Tekufa Gedola has a question, post 1967, from a member or members, I can't tell, of Tzahal, who had just gone and liberated Jerusalem. And he says, Nishalti hayos ben kovshe Yerushalayim ha'atika. I was among the people who went and they freed the old city of Jerusalem. Hayu b'nei Torah yireyim v'shleimim. There were very wonderful b'nei Torah that were fighting with the Israeli army. And they saw that written in a certain sefer, and you can guess which one. Yerushalayim, which is now full of Avodah Zarah, mavur begemara v'poskim b'hoi digidua akum kodim v'kivush im kovshim eizu mokom eitzrael v'ein mevarim Avodah Zarah terim kivush yeshro din ov the Avodah Zarah mamish. So this is written later than the Vayol Moshe. I believe this is from Al Gul of Al Tura, where he has this. The Sige raised the issue again. How are you going and freeing Yerushalayim? Full of Avodah Zarah. And if you're doing it again, it's as if you're being Oved Avodah Zarah. You people who went and you freed the old city in Jerusalem, you think you did such a great thing? It's much as if you did idolatry. People were bothered by this. The Arachaim says, in the event that you don't get rid of it, you're also as if you worshipped it. V'hu b'chal yehorg v'al yavor. You should give your life for this. V'hem ro b'lvah shero mevaris avozora o misparim. Sheyaskikah b'kibosh v'yitaklim b'tikunim. They're telling the world, look how great this is. We're going to make the churches better. How can you think this was a miracle if these people are really idolaters? There's no way to think otherwise. So I can't believe how some people, in the, actually people who know Torah, actually believe that this is a good thing, the Six-Day War. Go figure. So he says, clearly there are no miracles in the Six-Day War whatsoever. This person being quoted by the Rav Kasher. It's just blindness. So he turns around and says, in fact, these people are very bothered. They write a letter. Here we thought we were great guys. We recaptured the old city of Jerusalem. And now we're hearing that we're over there at Avodah Zarah. So Kasher answers with a few things. Samuel. So,
Trump said she's
the Samachmem.
She's
so, the Sefer HaChinuch, interesting, when it quotes this halacha, so if you're familiar, Sefer HaChinuch, this is the 613 mitzvahs, and it explains them, and it gives you the basic rules of each one. It says, mitzvah aved avodah zarah mesham she'el. That's the mitzvah in question. So at the end of it, he says, who has to keep the mitzvah? Men and women alike have to do this, even individuals. Anytime, any place. We have the mitzvah to get rid of it if we have the power to do it. We only have to do it at a time when we have control of Israel and we can do it. So the first thing of Kasha says is what Yossi said. And what do you think would happen if we went and we blew up some mosques and some churches in Jerusalem? How well do you think that would have gone? Probably not so good.
Although you wonder if in the middle of Melchemesh Sheshet Hayamim, if the mosques
accidentally
been blown up. You sort of
well, that right. Argument why they gave back the handful that he keeps in the Arabic. It's the same argument.
Right. So
they had the opportunity then.
They blew it.
Right,
Dayan blew it.
Well, they failed to blow it.
And that wouldn't have been a Darchei Shalom. That wasn't blowing
up. Well, again, Darchei Shalom is nice. Darchei Shalom is not a reason for Avodah Zarah.
Right.
Let's be clear here. I like Shalom as much as the next guy. But, you know, that's not a heter for Avodah Zarah. But here he says the whole mitzvah to be ma'abed is only when we have the ability to do it. So the first argument is we did not have the ability, and we still do not have the ability to do it. Yes?
Does that mean that the goyim are going to be okay with it when we do it?
No, but they won't be able to respond in any way. Right, at this point, and in 1948 for sure, and even in 1967, they could have reacted in a way that we couldn't have stopped. That's one. Number two is a very interesting argument. It's a medrash, which says as follows. Mikan haya Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai omer, al tevaha lister bomos goyim. Don't rush so fast to destroy the Avodah Zarah of the non-Jews. Because if you do it, they're going to make you rebuild it. And they're going to make you rebuild it better than it was. If it was brick, they'll say make it out of stone. If it was made out of stone, make it out of wood this time. So listen, if at the end of the day, before you destroy, make sure it's going to stay down. So if Kasher says, this is exactly what happened in 67. It's talking exactly about our time. Blessed be the soldiers of the RDF. They did exactly what they were supposed to do by not destroying the Avodah Zarahs. If he really went and destroyed it, what would have happened then? Inevitably, we would have rebuilt it. And obviously, rebuilding it is an awful lot worse than not destroying it. So it's an hard argument. So what does he mean exactly? I was thinking about this, that they were going to rebuild it. We would have been forced to rebuild it? Or inevitably, there are certain members of the Jewish community who would have gone and done it anyhow.
Either way.
Political pressure might have been applied.
Right. So I'm not sure about that. It could be the political pressure would have been applied. Or, you know, certain people who don't necessarily, respect the religion as much. Right? And would have been more concerned about the humanistic or worldly view. Would have gone and done it anyhow. So one way or the other, he makes the argument that, in fact, it was a good thing they didn't do it, because the Medrash says, you don't do it unless. And the unless definitely wasn't there at the time. Interesting, so the last thing I wanted to discuss here is Rashi and our Pasuk. Didn't Rashi say that that when you're going in to conquer Israel, you better do it al-manas to destroy, or if not, it's over? So the truth of the matter is, no, Rashi never said that. Snuck that one right by you. The Rashi is basically a quote of a Gemara in Sota. If you look at the Gemara in Sota, in context, it's not talking about that at all. Odom b'Yarden, when they were still standing in the middle of the Jordan River, which wasn't much of a river at the time, Amram Yeshua, du'u amatem ovim es ha'yarden. Realize why you are crossing the Yarden. Al menashe torishu es yoshi haras b'bneichem. In order that you will conquer all of the people who live here. Shinema v'horashem es kol yoshve haras m'bneichem. V'im atem osim kein mutav. If you're going to do that, great. V'im lav bo'imayim v'shot v'moschem. In the event that you don't do it, you're going to drown. If you don't have intentions of doing that, you're going to drown right now. So if you don't have the intentions of doing it, what's the it? Right, so we read it originally, it is getting rid of the Avodah Zarah. You read the Gemara, no, it's not talking about that at all. So let's go back to Rashi. Right, now let's look at Rashi again, number 6. What's the Almanas Cain?
To conquer the land.
Right. Now, we originally read it. Oh, that's what the Almanas Cain. So, in fact, there is no such Rashi that says that. If you read our Rashi closely, it's not talking about getting rid of Avodah Zarah. Just to make it a little clearer, the Maharal in his Parish on Rashi spells it out. Al Menaskin Tavros Yadim Vim Toma Ma Temlazer Shiyavros Yadim Al Menaskin. Why am I going? Why can I only cross it on the condition of this? The Jordan is what's keeping you from getting into Israel. It's that big. You can't just cross the Jordan. It's from the strength of the land. If I'm going to do this in order, because I want to take over the land, right? I want to do this on behalf of the land to get the land away from the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, then the Yarden will let you in. You want to do that for the land? That's for my benefit, the Yarden says? Come on in. But if not, it just does what it usually does. So the assumption here, again, it seems to be, why? What you have to agree to? You have to agree to get rid of the people that are there. So ultimately, just to review quickly, the argument that the Satmar Rebbe wanted to make is that because the Israeli government does not get rid of the idolatrous places and the idols in Israel, therefore, they themselves are considered over the Avodah Zarah, and you cannot participate in it at all. There are several issues that one has with that. One is, do you really have to? Is it really Avodah Zarah? Arguable. That's question number one. Beyond the whether it is Avodah Zarah, is there any Avodah Zarah nowadays at all? Right? If the people just aren't that religious, does that still count for Avodah Zarah? Also, again, arguable. Beyond that, nowadays, the potential retribution might be reason enough that you're not chayef to do it. Beyond the potential retribution, also there's an issue of, forget retribution, our own people might rebuild it, which would be even worse. And all of this, I think, you could make an argument that whether it is appropriate for the Israeli government to support the other religions or not. But I think the last step to say that if you are over the Avera of not destroying Avodah Zarah, you yourself are considered an Oved Avodah Zarah, that's a tough one. There is an Orach Chaim, which again you can deal with. We did spend time on it. But this Rashi in this week's Parsha, which he reads that way, that you can't go into Israel, and it's the Machshava. If you have a Machshava, it's Machshava Avodah Zarah. That's a very difficult one, because a simple reading of Rashi, if you look at it, the original sources, Rashi's not talking about the commandment to destroy the Avodah Zarah. Rashi is talking about the commandment to wipe out the inhabitants. So that really makes this Rashi unrelated to our discussion whatsoever. Okay?